Rod Mozell, everyone. Rod and I have been in a few political foxholes together. That is absolutely 100% true. And I appreciate your leadership. And fantastic crowd. I'm glad we did have to expand the room. We're all here just for Blaine Arthur. We're all aware, well aware that we are, the governor and I are just the warm-up routine here. It has been a pleasure serving with the secretary. First female secretary, ag secretary in state history. That's a big deal. I see some press in the back of the room. That's a big deal. Ben, write that down. I'm going to share just a few things with you here today that are directly kind of tied to my role as lieutenant governor. And I do love that chief salesman job title. It's extremely refreshing. You know, any politician, and again, you see a lot, and I've never run for office before, and I've only been in office for 3 weeks, but I'm well aware that I'm now a career politician. That's how this works now, the governor and I. But you all have talked to politicians at the local level, state level, and they tell you a lot of things that they think they're going to do when they're running for office, right? It's extremely exciting that everything, and I mean this, everything that I said I was going to do on the campaign trail, the governor is now giving me authority to do it. So it's a big responsibility, yes, but I will take that on 100%. Everything from a tourism perspective, from an economic development perspective, everything that I said about how entrepreneurship is the future in this state and in this country, the governor said, hey, you're passionate about it. You wanted to do it. You're my lieutenant. Go do it. And I can tell you, I've been involved in politics for a number of years. I've never seen that. I really haven't. I've been in all 50 states the last 4 or 5 years doing politics, helping from a state up to the White House level. And to have a governor that has no ego about this, he really did wake up and started praying about running for governor because he wanted to make Oklahoma a top 10 state. It's very refreshing, and I'm very blessed. I want you all to hear that because I walk with this man every day. I'm in meetings with him every day, and he's the real deal. He's the real deal. You need to hold us accountable, absolutely, but I certainly wanted to say that because he is. A couple of the issues and areas that I will be, again, laser-focused on, as you heard, I was named Secretary of Tourism and Branding, and inside tourism, one of the areas that I'm going to need your help with, and I'm going to be crisscrossing these 77 counties and talking about this, is agritourism. This is a completely undervalued area of tourism. You all know this. You all get this. It's not all, everybody kind of talks about the Pioneer Woman up there in the Pawhuska area, and I know we're not all the Pioneer Woman, but you should go see that because there's now 30 businesses, new businesses alone, on Main Street because of one idea that the Pioneer Woman had. But across our 77 counties, we have opportunities to make money, again, at our farms and our ranches, if we would take advantage of this. It's the fastest cottage industry inside the tourism department as a whole, across the country. This is not just in Oklahoma, but we have, again, assets across 77 counties that we could be taking far more advantage of. This is something that Secretary Arthur and I have already had a number of meetings about. The Agritourism Division is parked underneath the Department of Ag for a reason. But we had a meeting just a week ago, and her staff, and I will say, I mean, her staff did say how excited they were that the Tourism Department was reaching out to the Department of Ag, figuring out how we can work together to make a whole lot of money for you and a whole lot of money for the state. Because, again, there's really been a disconnect there. We've kind of been operating in different silos. Those days are over. And I want you to know that, again, with the Agritourism Summit, the convention that's going to be coming up here soon, that's going to be really a launch for us with the Department of Ag and the Department of Tourism working together to really advocate for you across 77 counties in a much bigger way. When it comes to agritourism, because as I said, it's an area inside the tourism department and tourism as a whole that we should be taking advantage of. We generate, in the state of Oklahoma, about $650 million in state and local tax revenue off tourism. That's not half bad for a state that I believe right now does a fairly poor job of promoting all the assets that we have across the state. If we just went all in on Route 66, the most famous road in the world, and we have more miles of it than any other state in the entire country, If we just went all in on that, it caresses almost the entire state. And we talked about everything that's about an hour spoke off of Route 66. We could generate over $1 billion in revenue, state and local tax revenue. And I want you to hear it here from me, then that's what we, that is what we are going to do. We're going to be partnering with your all's communities, but I need to, you all to be reaching out to us, and certainly Secretary Arthur as well, as we start putting this plan together. We have to know the assets that you have, with things that you're doing from an agritourism perspective and a tourism perspective as a whole. In your counties and in your cities, we've got to know about them, because moving forward, we're going to do a whole lot better job of promoting that. Right now, with our spring campaign, we spend about $2.3 million in a spring campaign. This is TV ads, direct mail, digital ads outside the state of Oklahoma, telling people why they need to come to Oklahoma, why they need to get off these roads and bridges and spending money in our communities. That's the lowest in the region. That, compare that to a state like Michigan. I don't know what's in Michigan, but they spend $28 million a year on their pure Michigan campaign. You know, Tim the Toolman Taylor, you know, narrates that TV ad. They advertise in Oklahoma. And I see a bunch of minivans leaving the state across that invisible line in Arkansas. And if you're from Arkansas, I apologize, but we cannot be losing to Arkansas. Okay? The last lieutenant governor beat up on Texas quite a bit. There's 28 million people in Texas today. 28 million. That's why they think they're a nation. Okay? Texas is one thing. Arkansas, whole other ballgame. And we're getting beat by them when it comes to our tourism dollars, and that's unacceptable. So you are going to see a much more tenacious, much more aggressive area when it comes to tourism, because we got to play to our strengths. I mean, any state's got to play to their strengths. And tourism is one of our strengths. And as sales tax dependent as we are as a state, we better be all in on some of the easiest dollars to get. And tourism is one of them. The other area that I am extremely involved in, I'm one of the board members at the Commerce Department now. I'm a small business owner. And I'm well aware that you all are small business owners. I think there's a disconnect there, too, that, well, you're in farming and ranching. Oh, no, that's small business. And I know I'm preaching to the choir on that, but you all operate on the margins just like every other small business does in this state. And you fuel this economy. That's you all. You fuel it. My wife and I run a small business in the Tulsa area. We're entrepreneurs and inventors. She's the inventor of the Binksy Baby shopping cart hammock. You know those little hammocks that keep in the shopping carts for babies that can't sit up yet? That was my wife. She invented that. We have a shopping cart in our kitchen. We have four kids in a shopping cart in the kitchen. That's how we roll. I hope you're okay with that, because that's your lieutenant governor. And so the highs and lows of running a small business, I get it. I get it. And I know, again, it's not the same industry, but we run that business every day. And in the state of Oklahoma, and I mention this in every industry, regardless of industry, I mention it everywhere I go, because I'm going to need your help in this area as well. So we have a huge skills gap in this country. Because why? Well, one of the, I think, worst things that we've done in this country is took shop class out of high schools decades and decades ago, right? Because I can tell you, I mean, my son's really good at playing video games. I want to throw these video games out of my house and set them on fire. Don't get me on going on that soapbox. But he can play video games, but that's about all he can do. and what that has created is a whole generation that does not know how to work with their hands and do not have the skills that meet the jobs in this current economy that we have. I mean, a couple statistics on this. The number of manufacturing jobs is expected to grow nearly 3.5 million new jobs during the next 10 years. Of those, an estimated 2 million are expected to go unfilled because of the skills gap, again, that we have in this country. You have 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day in this country. Over 60% of the jobs could be filled in this state tomorrow if they went down to one of our best-in-the-country career tech facilities and got a certificate down there, and they can make $60,000 to $80,000 a year like that. But we demonize kids that go vocational routes in this state and in this country. And it's wrong, and it's got to change. It's got to change. And so you will be seeing a plan from our Commerce Department that's going to help change this, a whole new workforce plan. We are going to be partnering with Career Tech. You heard from me again, got to play to your strengths, right? Career Tech is one of our strengths. Any governor in the country will tell you how great our Career Tech infrastructure is. Most states can't replicate it. They certainly can't replicate it overnight. how good our career tech infrastructure is. And now, thankfully, career tech is getting it to where they're now going into high schools. They're taking career tech into those schools. Broken Arrow, Union, and my backyard in Tulsa are doing this every day. There's over 23 high schools that now are. We need every high school doing this because those jobs will help diversify our economy. That gets us off oil and gas. I want oil and gas 365, 24/7, but if we are completely dependent upon the price of oil, then we will continue to do this on this roller coaster every day down at the state capitol. Sometimes we have money, some sessions we don't have money. But states around us have done a much better job of recognizing this skills gap. They identify it. They stop demonizing kids, and now they're doing signing ceremonies for those kids that have chosen, maybe they're not going to a four-year university, but they're going to go a career tech route. I love that, and I want to do that in the state of Oklahoma. This is something that the governor and I both talked about on the campaign trail. But again, we need the communication from you. What problems do you have in your counties? Give that back, because I'm a direct line right to the Commerce Department, where we are changing those things right now. As I said, we will have a new workforce plan that we're going to be unveiling here in the coming weeks and months. Again, silos. You got Oklahoma Works over here. You got Career Tech over here. You got all these different workforce plans and programs around the state that aren't communicating with each other. And that's, again, we've got to all come together to be able to fix that problem. And so Dave Stewart up at Mid-America and Pryor, Sean Copeland, Brent Kissling, myself, as well as Marcy Mack at Career Tech have been sitting together on a weekly basis to kind of put this new workforce plan together. But I've got to have the support in counties across 77 counties to help change that. Those are a couple of the areas that, again, you'll see me in. And as I mentioned, I've been in all 50 states the last 4 or 5 years. I worked for the Republican National Committee before, along with, again, running our business in Tulsa. So my job was to oversee all 50 states. So I have a PhD in adult daycare situations. I mean, that was my job, to go in and fix state parties. Now, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you get that. Politics is, a lot of times, we don't all agree. But I would go in, and it was like this way in every single state that I went into, and I'd stand up in front of podiums just like this, and I'd say, hey, I'm Matt Pinnell, and I'm from Oklahoma, because I'm proud to be an Oklahoman. I mean, my wife and I chose to raise our 4 kids here, put them in school here, start a business here. We don't want to leave, nor are we going to leave. So I was proud when I stood up and said that word, Oklahoma. But I dubbed it the Oklahoma snicker, because when I would say the word Oklahoma, there usually was one or two people in the back of the room would start snickering when I said I was from Oklahoma. After I would get done giving that speech, what I recognized was that it wasn't necessarily we had a negative brand, that people didn't know what we were about as a state and don't know what we're about as a state. They'd ask me, well, tell me about this state that you call Oklahoma. Does it have running water and tall buildings? Like, what's there? Because I don't plan on going there, and when I do go there at the crossroads of America, I buy a bag of chips and a tank of gas, and I'm gone. And that is what drove me to get into this race, to run for this race, to crisscross this state, put over 105,000 miles on my truck the last couple years, and I won all 77 counties. Because I took a message that I believe resonates with Oklahomans, regardless of political party, and it's a message that Governor Stitt used as well. We want to raise kids and grandkids, and I know you get this too, that are proud of this state. Because if they're proud of this state, then they might choose to go to one of our great career tech or higher education facilities and raise their own families here. But we've got to make some changes if we want to continue to do that. And if we want those kids to make that decision. And I want you to know that drives me. The best kids that I've met across those 77 counties are 4-H and FFA kids. Best kids I met. Best kids I met. And a lot of you all were with me from day one. And I won't forget it. I will advocate for you at the state level, and I'll advocate for you all at a national level when it is needed to be done that, and to sell, again, that you are the backbone, that you help feed and clothe a growing world as well. And you need supporters down at the state capitol, and I guarantee you I'm going to be one of them. So with that, again, it's really an honor to be in front of you. I will not be a stranger. Rod knows that. I will continue to help sell what you all are selling. And my door is always open for you down at the state capitol. Let's go make Oklahoma a top 10 state. Thank you so much.